If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting with verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. But the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. Last words. A great person's last words are significant. In fact, they are a window that helps us to look into their heart. Or maybe we would say a measure that helps us to evaluate that person's life. Here we have Paul's last words to Timothy, and not only to Timothy, but to us as the church. It is interesting that Paul expressed no regret as he came to the end of his life. Wouldn't it be wonderful to look back over your life and you have no regrets? You've been faithful. You've done what God has asked you to do. Paul gave three final admonitions, and he backs each one of these up with a reason. And I want to share them with you this morning. He starts out by saying, preach the word. As you go, preach. I charge thee, or I solemnly witness. Paul wanted Timothy to realize the significance and the importance of the situation. Paul was facing death at Rome. And both Paul and Timothy would be judged one day when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared the second time. I think it would do us all good if from time to time we would just take and analyze our own self in light of the fact that we're going to be judged by Almighty God. Preach the word. Preach the word. This is the main responsibility for the child of God, the Christian, the church member. To preach means simply to herald. That is to call forth and share the good news of the gospel with the lost and dying world. The servant is not an ambassador, but he is a messenger. He is not here to arbitrate or negotiate, but simply to proclaim the message that God has given him from the scripture. Preaching is marked by three elements: conviction, warnings, and appeal, or reprove, rebuke, and exhort. A preacher should afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. If there is conviction but no remedy, then we simply add to our people's burdens. And if we encourage them who ought to be rebuked, then we are helping them to sin. Preach the word. The whole counsel of God. We're not just to preach one thing, but we're to preach the whole counsel of God. It is the word of God. We need it. It is our direction for the pathway of life. Paul gave the responsibility to Timothy to preach the word. And he gave the reason in verses 3 and 4. He said, there's coming a time, and it is now here, that men will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You see, they will be craving for those things that the flesh desires. And I think we all know that we live in a time today when a lot of churches are not preaching the word of truth. And they're preaching what people want to hear. They're catering to the itching ears, craving for the things that disagree with God. We look at a preacher sometimes that has a large church, and we think he must really be preaching the truth, but that's not always true. Maybe he is tickling the people's ears, giving them what they want instead of what they need in order to have a crowd. But I remind you, it is a short distance this morning, or a step from itching ears to turning our way, our hearts, from the word of truth. Note the emphasis on Scripture. Preach the word. Doctrine. Sound doctrine. And he says they will not endure sound doctrine, but they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they will turn away from the truth. We live in a time when people don't want to hear the truth. You know, I've been a preacher now for many, many years. And I've had times when folks didn't really appreciate what I had to say, but it was the authority of the Word of God that I shared with them. And sometimes it may not always set well, but I remind you that we need the truth. We need the truth. We need the Word of God that will help us to understand what God expects out of our life, because one day we're going to stand before God and account for the soul that we have and for the life that we have lived. Fulfill your ministry, the second challenge. In other words, he says, Timothy, make full proof of your ministry. Fulfill whatever it is that God wants you to do. God has a work for you to do. And I'm here to tell you, he has a work for all of us to do. All of us to do. There's no big I's or little U's in the house of God and in the service of God. He has a work for you to do. Timothy's ministry would not be exactly like that of the Apostle Paul's, but it would be important. You see, there are no important and unimportant ministries. They're all important. They're all important. I remember one time a deacon told me in Fort Smith, he said, Carl, I've been a deacon for a long time, and I've served God and been in the church a long time, and I've come to this conclusion that there are pastors of hundreds, and there are pastors of 100, and there are pastors of 50. And I thought at the time, that's crazy. But you know, as I've lived my life and I've looked around and I've been a part of the work of ministry, I've found that he had a little bit of truth to that. Timothy was charged to preach the word. A young preacher once complained to the great Charles Spurgeon, the famous British preacher in the 1800s, that he did not have as big a church as he deserved. Spurgeon asked, how many do you preach to? Oh, about 100, the man replied. Solemnly, Spurgeon said to him, that will be enough to give an account for on the day of judgment. You see, a preacher is responsible for the souls of those that God has placed in his care. He is responsible to lead them and point them in the right direction. And brethren, if you don't always live like you ought to, it's a preacher's responsibility to point that out to you and help you to get back in the straight and narrow. We do not always measure the fulfillment of a ministry on the basis of statistics or what people see. We realize that the Lord looks on the heart. He doesn't just look on the outside, but he looks on the inside. He knows what's on the inside, and we will be judged by what he sees. Timothy was admonished to be sober in all things, knowing that one day he would stand before God to account. So there was a seriousness about the work of God. It's not just we come in on Sunday morning and we sit down in the pews and we listen to the singing we enjoy and we just get all excited about the work of God. We listen to the preaching. We might tell the preacher on the way out, I enjoyed the sermon. And we go out and that's all we ever do. But God wants us, as you go, preach the word. As you go, share the good news of the gospel. Do the work of an evangelist. Timothy was instructed that all of his ministry must have at its core evangelism, the reaching of the lost. Now, I know that there are times when we preach a sermon and we don't always go down the sawdust trail preaching hellfire and brimstone. Sometimes the church, and it needs to be fed, needs to hear the word. But all of it is the counsel of God. And you see, all of it reminds us of the fact that we're going to give an account for that which we do and don't do. And the burdens of the law should characterize a pastor's not only his public ministry, but his private ministry as well. Win the lost. Paul was about to move off the scene. He knew that he was going to die, that he was going to be beheaded in Rome. He'd already gone through his first hearing, and his time on earth was short, and so he wanted to admonish Timothy to be faithful, preach the word. And so he looked in three different directions. First of all, he looked around. He realized that his time was short and he was on trial, and he had gone through his first hearing. However, he did not tremble at the prospect of death or suffering. He had put his faith and his confidence in the Lord. And there are two words, offered and departure, that helps us to look into his life. This word offered simply means pouring out on the altar as a drink offering. Caesar is not going to kill me, he said. I'm going to give my life as a living sacrifice to Jesus Christ. I have been a living sacrifice serving him all of my life. And he said, I'm going to come before God. Caesar's not taking my life, but I'm laying it down as an offering unto God. Don't you want to do that? Don't you want to be able to come to the end of life's journey and look around and know that I have been faithful? I have accepted the charge that God has given me. And I have faithfully carried it out. Hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The word departure talks about, well, it has several meanings, but it means one, to hoist an anchor and set sail. You know, Paul knew that he was coming to the end of life and he was going to get on the ship and head out into eternity. They were going to loose the anchors, loose the ropes, and the ship was going to take sail to eternity shore. And it would go all the way to heaven, to the shores of heaven, and he would be greeted by the Lord Jesus Christ. It also means to take down a tent. This parallels with 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 8, where Paul simply talks about the death of a believer And he compares it to the taking down of a tent or a tabernacle in order that he might receive a permanent glorified body. A house not made with hands. You see, he was not talking about a mansion in heaven, but he was talking about that body that the Lord would give us that would live for all eternity in the place that God has provided for us. The word departure has a meaning of loosing a prisoner from his shackles, setting him free. Paul was facing release. He knew that he was going to die in Rome, but he was not worried about that. He was facing release from his burdens down here. He would be unshackled from this world. And he was going out to meet his Lord. Paul had been in hard service for many years. Now he was going to be promoted to the place that God had provided for him. Secondly, Paul looked back. He summed up his life in ministry, and two of the images that he uses are from the field of athletics. Like a determined wrestler or a boxer, he said, I did not just punch the air, but he said, I fought a good fight. And I finished the course, that is, like a runner. He had finished his lifelong race victoriously. Paul started out and he didn't look back. Any man who puts his hand to the wheel and turns back is not worthy of the kingdom of Almighty God. Well, it is heartening to be able to look back and have no regrets in our life. To look back and be able to say, I've been faithful to God. I've served him with all my heart, and God, who can look on the inside, knows my heart, and so he knows that it is true. I've been faithful. Paul was able to do that. Finally, Paul looked ahead. At the Greek and the Roman games, when the athletes would win the race or whatever they were competing in, they were rewarded by the crowds, and they were given a leaf, a wreath of garland or oak leaves. But the Apostle Paul said, I am going to receive a reward. It is not going to fade. It's not going to wilt like those leaves. But I'm given a reward that is an eternal gift of Almighty God of eternal life. Jesus Christ is the righteous judge who always judges correctly. Paul was being judged in Rome by those that were not righteous. If they had been, they would have set him free. But now he is facing his last judge. That is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And brethren, that's where we are. That's where we are this morning. We're facing that last judgment. It's appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We're facing the time when we will stand before him that knows all about us, that is omniscient. His eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, and we will stand before him who knows all and give an account for what we've done and how we've been faithful and how we've served him. Is it important that you be faithful every day? You bet. You bet. Be faithful. He is the righteous judge. The crown of righteousness is God's reward for a faithful and a righteous life. And the one incentive for faithfulness and holiness is the promise of his return. Do you know he's coming back? He's coming. You better look. It might be today, it might be tomorrow, it might be a year from now. I don't know, but he's coming. I can tell you this morning when you leave here, know that he's coming. Be ready. Be ready to meet him because he is coming. And if we love Christ appearing, and live in obedience to his will and do the work he has called us to do, we will be crowned. Just like the Apostle Paul, he said, not to me only, but unto all of those that love his appearing. Then finally, be diligent and faithful. He told Timothy, hurry up and get here. I'm in jail. I'm in prison. It's cold. It's damp. I need my cloak. And I want you to bring the books. I want you to bring the scrolls. I want you to bring the parchment. Paul had an insatiable desire to study the Word. Study the Word. He wanted to know more about Jesus that he was going to meet soon. I want to know more about him, don't you? I want to know more about my Lord that died on the cross 2,000 years ago, took my place, took your place. Why? He loved us. He loved us. And he died for us. In order that we could have eternal life, then he picked us up out of sin, washed us white as snow. And he said, I want you to live for me. And I'm coming back for you. I won't forget you. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Praise God, he's coming back. I want to be ready to meet him. But he had a note of sadness. Here in this chapter, he said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. He said, no man stood with me when I went to trial. They all forsook me, he said. And I prayed God that he would not lay that sin to their charge. That's the kind of man he was. But he wanted to learn more about the Word of God, but it must have broken his heart that Demas turned away. He loved the world more than he loved God, and he turned his back on the Lord for the things of the world. It's possible that this can happen to anyone. It's possible. It ought not to happen, should not happen. We don't want it to happen. But if you're not faithful, it can happen. For a Christian, there are more dangerous things than suffering and death. Sin. The wages of sin is death. Paul was sure that his time had come for his permanent departure. He wanted to know that I've run my race well. I've run it well. He did not want to have any disobedience. This morning, that message that was given to Timothy was given to us as a church. We're in a battle. We're to preach the word. We're in God's army. We're to march forward. We're to do everything that we can to do his bidding, to win the lost, preach the word. Go out with the determination, I'm going to reach somebody for Christ. We have an influence. We need to use it for the cause of Christ. Help folks to make heaven their home. Don't let them go to hell, because there are only two alternatives, heaven or hell. Help folks to go to heaven. I challenge you, preach the word. Let's bow for prayer.